Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to episode 43 of Absolutely Intercultural, wherever you may be listening to us. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and behind the microphone today is Agnes Dusch from Budapest in Hungary. You may remember one of our recent episodes was about intercultural weddings, and we heard from Americans and Lebanese people how the rules and conventions can be different in those countries and how they prepared themselves and their relatives for the happy day. By the way, if you have any comments on one of the shows, why don't you go to our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com and leave a comment or get in touch with one of your fellow listeners. So in our show about intercultural weddings, we talked about communicative challenges between different cultures. For example, when wedding guests from different cultures come together at one table. In our category, Absolutely Simulated, we will have a look at an intercultural card game called Barnga, which has the potential to prepare us for such situations. In our category, Absolutely Up in the Air, we talk to Simon Brown, a former British Airways captain, who tells us how the Myers-Briggs personality test opened his eyes. He tells us that the difference between an adequate pilot and an excellent one is not so much about technical knowledge, but much more about human skills and personality in interaction in the cockpit. The intercultural differences do not stem from the fact that people are from different nationalities in this case, but have different personalities.
So the important things to get right were the ways that the pilots interacted with one another, the human skills that they had. And people didn't think that was important, flying aeroplanes at first.
The card game, which simulates the experience of meeting people from other cultures and working with them, makes you realize that these are operating under different conventions. However, I think that maybe a card game is a safer environment than flying a real aeroplane to try out how to react in difficult communicative situations, don't you think? A card game is clearly not a real situation, and it's not as important as a difficult problem in the cabin of an aeroplane, and consequently it might be a good training ground.
I think it was important that the whole game was not important.
But let us start with real life, where taking a wrong decision can cause real danger. Laurent interviewed Simon Brown, a former airline captain in British Airways, who tells us how the Myers-Briggs personality test, which was used to make pilots more aware of their different personality styles, opened his eyes.
I'm in the airport in Bangkok in Thailand, and I'm talking to Simon Brown, and he's a former airline captain.
Yes, that's right.
And we've just started talking about different categorizations, or maybe we can even say cultures of people and how people fall into these different categories. Maybe you can tell us more about this.
Well, it was more about the different ways in which people think and the different ways that people approach problems, which sounds rather a woolly thing to say. You'd think that, some people think about a problem one way and some people another, but there's not all that much difference between them. But when people test for things like this, if they use, and I just remember the name of this test, the Myers-Briggs test, that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. And if they use this test, the Myers-Briggs test, it doesn't end up being woolly at all. It's really good the way it gives a clear distinction. And
did you take the test yourself?
Yes.
And in which context?
The company was concerned that pilots who used to be seen as just people who had this great big complicated machine and had to know how to work the machine. But of course, after a time, they realized that they were all competent enough. They had to take their tests every 6 months. So the important things to get right were the ways that the pilots interacted with one another, the human skills that they had. And people didn't think that was important, flying aeroplanes at first. They thought it was all to do with
the technical
mm-hmm. matters. But in reality, it really comes down to the personality matters.
Right. On one of our other shows, we talked about culture as the software of the mind. We compared culture to software, and we realized that some cultures might even be incompatible. So are you saying that, like, one captain could be less compatible with another?
Absolutely pilot? Right. Yes, absolutely right. It always used to be assumed that the machine, the aeroplane, had to be operated in a certain way. Clearly, if you want to make the aeroplane turn left, there's only one way of doing that. But all those sorts of things can easily be written down in a manual, and the pilots will all do it in pretty much the same way. But the difficult bits are, of course, where they are faced with a problem, and there are various ways of solving it. It could be that the captain says, my job is to lead and to solve the problem, and this is what we're going to do. And it wasn't really the co-pilot's role to say, captain, I'm not sure we're doing the right thing here.
Yes.
And then, of course, it was realized that there are two people in the cockpit, and two heads are better than one, and it was a very good idea for the captains to open themselves to the extraordinary suggestion that the co-pilots might have a good idea about something. So that's about that side of the human interaction. But it's also found that people approach problems. Different people have got quite different ways of thinking about problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the Myers-Briggs test could really make clear distinctions between people who solve problems by looking at all the details and getting their solution by really knowing the details, and other people who looked at the broad overall picture and said, oh, I can just see taking it all into account. I mean, that's one of the distinctions.
So there were four categories, you say?
Oh dear, you're going to ask me to remember years back about. I know one of the categories was introvert or extrovert.
Okay.
And people made the mistake of thinking that that was a personality matter. But what they meant was the extrovert way of thinking is to do it verbally, to mumble to yourself, to talk out loud,
mm-hmm.
whereas the introvert way of thinking is the person who is silent for a bit, the cogs click over in their brain, they spit out the answer and they say, we'll turn left instead of turning right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the categories. Oh, goodness. Another one was whether they looked at the detail or whether they looked at the overall picture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I can remember the other two
okay.
at all.
Okay. Do you remember any problems in the cockpit that came up because of these differences? Especially after you had taken the test, you were probably more aware of the differences than you had been before.
Yes, it was a revelation to me to think that people were that different.
Mm-hmm.
Then another part of it was that you were asked to assess yourself, to guess what sort of a thinker you were. And then it was very interesting to have other people also giving an opinion about yourself. And it was very surprising to me, and I think to everyone, to find that the opinion you had of yourself and your way of thinking was quite different from the opinion that other people had. And that was very much the case with personality, and it was said that people would open the envelope in which it had the assessment in it,
mm-hmm.
and they would think perhaps that they were confident and competent pilots, and find that their colleagues had written in to say that they were worryingly incompetent,
oh, okay.
or they were worryingly dictatorial,
oh, right.
And that sort of thing.
Mm.
And it led to a culture change. And very much a change for the better.
Let us now look at the card game Barnga, which could help you find out more about your own personality and train you to cope with people who approach problems in a different way. So in our category Absolutely Confusing, we'll look at what happens when you go through the intercultural simulation. Close your eyes, but only if you're not flying an aeroplane as you are listening to our podcast. Imagine a dark and rainy November weekend in Germany. Zoom in on a cozy-looking classroom in Remagen on the Rhine. We will try to find out what a group of 25 students from various different countries are experiencing at the University of Applied Sciences Koblenz. The students sit at 5 different tables, which are separated from each other. They play cards with each other in their class of intercultural communication. But some of them seem a little confused.
I was really confused. I didn't know what's correct or not.
The students at each table receive a deck of cards and a sheet of rules for playing a new card game called Five Tricks. They practice the rules for a while, and then the facilitator takes away the rules sheets from them and imposes a very strict command of no verbal communication. So they have to play on, but are not allowed to use voice or language if they want to clarify a rule or a situation. At the end of each round, the winners and the losers of each table move on to a different table, where they are confronted with a new set of players, but are still not allowed to use their voice or a language for communication. This means that the players may gesture or draw pictures if they wish, but may neither speak nor write words. You can imagine that this forces players to find alternative ways to communicate.
I tried to gesture and to make some mimics, but I didn't try to paint a picture. I thought that would be my first choice, but it wasn't.
When enough players have moved around to different tables, the situation gets rather complex and frustrating, as at each table the rules are slightly different. I'm telling you this now, because this is the idea of the exercise, but the players do not know this. So nobody seems to understand what is going on and why the others do not seem to understand the rules. Even those players who do realize that there is a misunderstanding and that the rules are slightly different find it difficult to bridge the communication barriers and work out a good solution for themselves. This experience of frustration and disappointment during the card game is a great starting point for a follow-up discussion about what happened in the card game and how this can be seen as a metaphor for what happens in real life when we move not to another table but to another culture whose conventions are ever so slightly different from ours. Let us go to our category Absolutely Simulated and listen to some students' experience, which they shared in the feedback session.
Once the current game was over, the participants were allowed to speak again. I think you will notice from their voices and their laughter that some of them were rather relieved to be back in a normal situation where they could use language to communicate. Laurent, who did the debriefing, took the students through the two phases of feedback.
First of all, I asked them to give a description where they, the participants, emerged from the game world and describe what they felt during the experience. And then secondly, I asked them for analogy and analysis, where they tried to relate what they have just experienced to similar situations when they were confronted with a new culture. The participants formed a circle of chairs and I asked them where the misunderstandings during the game had come from. Were the rules different for different tables? Or was it that some people had just not understood the rules properly? How did the participants compromise when they were confronted with conflicting interests? Was anybody sure that their rules were correct until the very end of the game?
Let us listen into the debriefing session.
At the beginning, I thought maybe that we have different rules. Every table gets different rules, and so I wasn't very confused that some tables have other rules, because I thought they got from beginning other rules, so that the symbols have to correspond, or the letter, the numbers, or anything else. So I thought. Yes, if they want to have the trick, they can have. And when I got a trick, I'm happy and I can go one table further.
Is that true? Did people have different rules? You say yes, you say no?
I wasn't sure if other
tables had other rules or if they understood the rules in a other way. So we had to find a compromise, or the one have to convince the other person. I don't know.
Okay, that's interesting. So at one point you realized maybe there are different rules, but I don't know, I cannot ask them. So in the time where I don't know, we have to find a compromise somehow. How can you find a compromise? I mean, either the cards go to you or they go to you. So how did you compromise?
Yes, to try to explain what you think what the rules are, and then the others explain what they think is right. And then I think mostly it was if three people think this one is right, then we get it in this way.
Yes, in fact, the rules were different at all the different tables. So everybody had slightly different rules. 90% of the rules were the same. Only little things which were different. And you may have noticed that that is the area where you get most misunderstandings. And if we compare that to cultures, for example, maybe it is more difficult if you go to the Netherlands, where 90% of the rules that you know are still the same. Whereas if you go to China, you would expect the rules to be different, and you wouldn't even think that they should be the same, and maybe that's actually easier to take. This time we had a funny situation at this table, because even in the first round, when they all had the same rules, they could already not agree. That was a novelty, actually. I don't think we've had that before. But that must have been funny for those people, because from the very beginning they had the impression that the others hadn't understood the rules. That was an extra complication. This is like you're leaving your family to go to France, but even in your own family you cannot agree on the rules. So that makes it very difficult when you go abroad, because you don't have one set of rules which you can rely on. Now, who were the winners? The people who were in the majority? If four people thought this is the rule, then they decided, and the one person who thought the rule was wrong wasn't heard? Or what was the situation at your tables? Or did the people who were at the table dominate the ones who came to the table?
Yes,
would you like to share that? So what was the situation?
When I have to have to change first the table, it was always the three persons who sit on the table who were right, because the rules have changed, and I was at my first table not sure if I had understand the rules completely. So at the next table, I said, okay, they must be right, there are three, they are a team, and so...
Because there are more of them, they must
yes.
be right. Okay, so they decide the rules somehow. Did any of you then go to a table where you met people from your first table again? Did you notice that you felt closer to them than to the other people?
Yes, I came back to my old table, and it was much easier, I think, because... we are on the same level on the question of the rules.
But then there must have been some people who didn't play correctly at that table as well.
I was really confused. I didn't know what's correct or not.
Who was absolutely sure all the time that your rules were the right rules? You were sure?
I never left the table.
Oh, you are? Okay. Please tell us about that.
I never go into the confusion that I lost any game, and then I never left the table, and so I was sure my rules are right. And
interesting. So this would suggest that those people who never get confronted with other cultures and rules seem to be the ones who are most convinced that their own rules are the only valid ones. Somehow, in real life, we get a similar effect, I think. Just think of people in your surroundings who never travel or never meet people from different cultures.
Those, on the other hand, who have the opportunity to move around and get confronted with different ways of doing things and looking at things, seem to become more careful and do not see their own way of thinking as the only possible one.
Let us return to the airport in Bangkok to Simon and the Myers-Briggs personality test in British Airways. Laurent asked Simon whether the test itself and the feedback he received from his colleagues in the famous envelope had been useful for him. Had it changed his view about himself?
All the time that you're working, I mean, I'm not just talking about sitting in a cockpit and there are two of you, but it must be the same working in an office, mm-hmm. that you do think of the way that you project your self-image onto other people, and whether you want to seem open and friendly or whether you want to seem someone who stands for no nonsense. And I must say, I had thought of myself as relaxed and laid back in the sense that I was open to suggestions from other people. But in fact, my colleague said to me that I seemed to lay down strict standards, and I was always striving and possibly striving too hard to keep very high standards when it wasn't necessary. So yes, it changed. That was useful feedback.
Okay. Did the others comment on that afterwards? Was there a culture of discussing these things after the test?
Mostly the discussion. Well,
or jokingly make remarks, or
it was mostly about personalities, as had always been the case when pilots would stop the night in some far-off city, and there'd be several crews there, and they would gather in a bar and inevitably would talk about flying. They wouldn't be talking about technical incidents or aspects of the job. They'd talk about old Fred, and do you know what he said now? And that really didn't change.
Okay.
People would say, now, I wonder how Fred got on when he went on that course, and whether it suddenly dawned on him what a really useless chap he was.
Okay, thank you very much, Simon.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Simon, for sharing your experience with us. Maybe you have inspired some of our listeners to have a closer look at the Myers-Briggs test on the internet. We have put some links in the show notes. Maybe you want to share your opinions about it with us by sending us an audio file. It would certainly be a great addition to our regular episodes.
Well, just go to our blog at www.absolutelyintercultural.com and share your thoughts with us and your fellow listeners. Absolutely Intercultural is all about sharing and starting discussions, so we are always looking forward to your feedback. Our next show will be coming to you from Denmark on the 16th of November. So long.
Stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.